Hello and welcome back to another exciting, riveting last month of or last Sunday of the month edition of Coffee and Cuddles. We're sorry that we weren't here on time on Friday, but hey, we're here now, so that's what matters. We hope you had a happy Easter if that's your thing. And if not, we hope you had a pleasant and enjoyable Sunday. Anyway, as always, I am Craig, aka Coffee, and by my side to the left, not politically, but just physically to the left, is my co-host,
Cuddles, aka Anna Marie.
I caught you off guard.
He actually pointed to the left as he was saying to his left.
I did.
I thought pointing at things where you can't see was my thing.
It is. You're rubbing off on me.
And in between us is our ever rambunctious, possibly third co-host, McCoy.
I was a bad puppy daddy today. I went to a family dinner and they have a new puppy and she climbed up my legs and on my shirt and on my shoulder, and my dog sniffed me and gave me this look of incredulity.
Incredulousness.
Like, that too. As if to say, "Father, what the F, man? Why do you smell like another puppy?"
Okay. Goodness. So he's usually much more subdued than this, but right now he's just all about, "You left me in my crate. How dare you?" Mm-hmm. So we have a very interesting title for this week's podcast, and that is "The Doctor is Will See You Now." I am not a medical doctor. Humpy is not a medical doctor.
And I didn't even stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Huh?
Do you remember the commercial? I'm not an expert, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn.
Oh, gotcha. So this topic came to me after our last week when, what was I talking about that I brought up?
Caring for one another or something? Or
something like that. So I had started to mention something last week and I said that I would just save it for another episode, which I guess would be this episode. So
wait, is this like the traffic lights, the next one or the next one, or is it this one?
No, we're not talking about traffic lights. Well, we could talk about traffic lights next week. Never mind. That doesn't make any sense. Okay. So what we wanted to talk about was, how do you get through one another's health situations, crises,
issues,
however you want to tag it. Now, when we were younger, I don't think either one of us ever thought about, you know, I need someone who will be there for me if I ever, you know, ended up in the hospital or had surgery or whatever it might be. But I can't speak for you, but for me, as I started getting older, that actually did pop up into my head, because about, I think it's been over 5 years at this point. I was diagnosed with, a couple of autoimmune diseases, actually. One being lupus, and another one that I did not know was an autoimmune disease, but it is rheumatoid arthritis, along with a whole host of other issues. But lupus is an autoimmune disease that has different variations. And the one that I have is systemic, which means my immune system is attacking not only what it should attack, but it's also attacking my joints, as if to say, gee, that knee joint should not be there. Let's eradicate it. So it makes life very interesting. There are days that I don't walk so good. There are moments where all I want to do is just lay down because I am in so much pain, I really can't function. And Craig has been with me through that on more than one occasion. Never once said, "This is too much, I'm out." He's known about my health issues.
Right. And that was, I don't want to say the word condition, but that was one of the things that you made sure that I understood before I ever moved out here, was that you have these issues and it's not like you have a cold or you have a a hangnail. These are serious things that I need to prepare myself for. And when you hear words like that, you're really never sure exactly how to prepare. But I came here in full knowledge of your declining health and your issues. And I've got issues of my own that now that I have insurance, I'm seeing doctors about and finding out there are names for those things that are wrong with me. And you've never once said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to step up and take care of you, because this is what you do when you're a couple, a partnership, whatever. If you're in any serious kind of relationship, it's not easy. And there may be times you want to bang your head on the wall and say, I can't do this, but you power through. You just pick up the slack that your partner can't carry for that day, week, month, or whatever, and you just do it. Is it exhausting? Sure. Is it mentally draining? Absolutely can be. And you should have some kind of support system in place for you to go, for you to go one to and vent to, because you need that. You can't just take it all in and push it down, because eventually you run out of room and there's nowhere, there's nowhere else to push things anymore.
Exactly. So one of the things that really just showed to me the kind of person that Craig is, was an incident where there was one evening and I went to take a step and I could not put any weight. Was it my right leg or my left leg?
Right leg.
I couldn't put any weight on it. To let my foot touch the floor was an absolute bulk. Panic amount of pain. I was just screaming my head off. I had to like drag my leg just to try to move, and even that was painful. So we had to call 911. We barely got me to the porch. Trying to figure out how to get me down three steps was just, I couldn't fathom it. So we ended up having to call 911. I was taken to emergency. And the only thing they could think of to do was to put me in a full leg split. So, and now there's not somebody knocking on the studio door. That would be McCoy. that's his opinion of the whole thing.
Leading up to the split was very aggravating, because like any ER, we waited and waited and waited. And then they gave us a bed and we said, finally relief. And then we waited some more. But the hospital staff must have been off their game that night. I generally don't talk down or talk badly about hospital people, but these people were terrible. There was no compassion. There was no understanding. There was no, let's see what we can do for you. At one point, they had said something about, we're going to give you crutches. And all you said was, I don't know that I know how to use those. And that sent them up into a tizzy and a tailspin. And, oh my God, why are you being difficult? Fine, we'll figure something else out. And I'm like, seriously? But they wrapped her leg up like a mummy, and we had her transported home. And, you know, over the course of a few days to a week, it got better. But there would be times that she had to get up in the middle of the night for various reasons. And like, I don't want to wake you up. I'm like, but you need to. You can't walk to the bathroom on your own. You can't go to the kitchen on your own. So I would get up like two times a night to take care of it, because that's my job. And it goes beyond job, because that sounds like it's an obligation. And oh my God, I don't want to do this. Pleasure isn't really the right word either. I guess it was my privilege to help her that I was able to do it. And I had, I had the physical ability and the mental ability to just deal with it.
Because, I mean, to say this man definitely loves me is, I don't even think that says it all, because having to help me do the simplest things like getting into the restroom, getting out of the restroom, sitting on the couch, getting off the couch, he got me through it. I actually had an appointment with my rheumatologist somehow, and I still to this day don't know how we got me in the car, out of the car, from the parking lot to the doctor's office, where they tried to say I was late for my appointment. And we just simply pointed at my leg and said, look, we need to see the doctor. So he got me through that. And even when he wasn't here, he got me through things. There was a point in time where I thought I was having a cardiac issue, and the hospital determined I was having a very wicked panic attack. And what I thought were panic attacks was apparently not it. And, you know, even though it was only via the phone, he was there for me. When I had to have surgery on my face to remove a small stone from a duct inside my face, he, you know, he was there for that. I mean, he wasn't physically here, but, you know, he made sure that, you know, he was on the phone and giving whatever support he could. So that definitely, that's a huge thing, is having somebody that you know will be there through the good, the bad, and the medical. I was going to say ugly, but it's not all medical situations are ugly.
Not all are ugly, but a lot of them are. And you've made sure that I've made every one of my doctor's appointments. You've made sure to go with me. You bring the notebook, and the doctor see you coming and say, oh, Lord, here she comes with her notebook. We have questions. I don't care if your next appointment is in 5 minutes. You're not done with us yet. But she stood by me, and she's helped me make decisions about healthcare, and she's been my rock.
Definitely. And I mean, this, for me, you know, making sure that a loved one is being taken care of, this started with my mom when she had her whole medical history. You know, I was at every appointment that I could be at with said notebook. And doctors would walk in, oh, Ms. Frank, how are you? Da, 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 da. And they'd see me, and oh, and your daughter's here. So,
how lovely.
So they didn't like to see me coming because it was, okay, we have the following question. And if my mom looked confused by the answer or didn't seem like, you know, I don't feel like this is helping me, then I asked more questions. And I do the same for Craig. If he doesn't look like his question's been answered, or he looks like he's still unsure, or just, I can definitely tell when he doesn't have all the information that he wants, and we just don't leave until it's figured out.
No, and I think you should absolutely hold your medical professional healthcare people 100% accountable. If you're not getting the answer that you want or you feel are good enough, then keep pressing the issue. I think two things. I think far too many people just say, well, that's what the doctor said, and that's as far as it goes. They never question it. They never say, well, maybe we should do something different. I've fired many doctors in my life when I felt like I was not getting the appropriate care from my first came to the kind of doctor he was, the oncologist. I kept putting off appointments. I kept canceling them, saying no, no, no. And the last time his receptionist called, I said, look, I'm not coming back to see him. And she said, why? I said, because I've gotten terrible service from him. I don't feel like I matter to him. I feel like he doesn't listen to any of my concerns. He won't answer my questions. And I fired him. And you have absolutely every right in the world to do that. If you don't like your doctor or whomever, then tell them, look, this isn't working. It's definitely you, not me. And you move on. The other thing I want to bring up is there are times when spouses act so put upon because their significant other is sick. And I know there's all the jokes about the man flu and all those things, and I get it. Sometimes men can be babies, women as well. I understand it. But there have been times when Anna will ask me, you know, why won't you let me help me? And why won't you let me help you? And I tell her, because for so many years, I didn't have anybody to rely on. If I was sick, I still took care of the house and the children. If I was sick, I still went to work. If I was sick, I kept doing all the things I could do. Unless I physically could knock it out of the bed because I was dizzy or nauseous or something, I still did it all myself without any outside help. So I'm still, even though I've been here almost 3 years, I'm still getting used to the idea of, oh, I can lay this burden on someone else, or I can hand the problem off to someone else. You know, I can let them make me a cup of soup or a bowl of soup or whatever, or give me tea, or whatever it is they want to do to help me feel better. So absolutely, I think if you're in a relationship, then you have to be there for one another. It's just, otherwise it doesn't work.
Very, very true. There are so many days that, you know, I mention that I'm not feeling well or I'm in pain, and the first words out of his mouth are, stay home. Which, when it's, say, 7 o'clock in the morning, you don't really, well, in my job, I don't have the luxury of just calling it in or calling out, because at that point, the odds of them getting somebody are probably zero to never going to happen.
See, I still understand how that's a you problem. That's a them problem.
I know, but for me to not be at work is to make sure that whoever fills in for me knows exactly how the day is supposed to run. From start to finish, I'm very well known for leaving 5 and 6 page lesson plans and
very true.
Posted on this book, that book. It takes me a while to get ready if I know that I'm definitely going to be out, but to suddenly need to be out, it's a lot different. I'm not one who likes to leave somebody in the lurch. But you know what? I've come to learn, thanks to Craig, that there are times when if I'm in pain or whatever, that, you know what, I'm not doing anybody any good if I'm trying to work when my body is saying, not today.
Well, even that, it's not like every time you have some little ache or pain, it's when I see that you physically can't move or have a hard time moving, or I know that you're in pain because of the look on your face. And these are things that you just pick up as you spend time with one another. And I think you and I are both pretty good at picking up on visual mm-hmm. cues from one another, even though, you know, we haven't said it out loud.
Yeah, I did something probably Friday night, I guess. I don't know if I've pulled something or something is torn in the back of my knee, or maybe I just, you know, stepped on a bug. I have no idea. But currently, to sit comfortably, stand, lay down, walk, anything that involves my legs right now, it's not going well at all. And just something simple like taking McCoy outside, which involves going down 3 steps, right now I can't. And Craig has told me more than once that he will, you know, help me with that. And yesterday morning, in fact, I had to wake him up and say, can you please help me get McCoy outside? I'll do the rest of it. I cannot physically get him down those stairs. And for the longest time, when it was just me on my own, there wasn't somebody to get the dog outside or go take care of the laundry, which involves two steps to the laundry room, or just even a simple trip to the grocery store. There wasn't anybody. And if it had to get done, it had to be me. And I kind of fell into that habit of, I have to figure out a way to do this. And it's been an absolute godsend, if I can use that term. Having somebody who said,
nickel. Go ahead.
Having somebody who says, just take a break.
I got this. It's like, you know, it's a simple thing of making sure that the sink is as empty as possible in the morning, so you don't have to try to figure out how to stand and do dishes or whatever. So it's just, is it always convenient to me? No. Is it always something I want to do? No. But it's something I like to do for you.
And I appreciate it.
Make sure that you don't have to do that.
I appreciate it. When I was first diagnosed with lupus, I was given 2 websites to look at to get more information. And I don't know that everything is known about this autoimmune disease. There is definitely no cure for it. There is no prescribed test for it. It took them a year to diagnose me. But one of the things that I saw, which unfortunately is just ingrained in my head, one of the websites I was looking at, there were a bunch of statistics, and I saw this one statistic that said 1 in 4 people diagnosed with lupus become permanently disabled. And I stopped looking at the websites at that point because I got positively frightened that, oh my gosh, I have this disease that has a 25% chance of making me permanently disabled. And at the time that I was diagnosed, I was on my own. And I thought, what does this mean for my future? You know, I can't expect anybody else to go through this with me if that is what I'm looking at in my future.
Here I am.
I know. And he's been great about it. He doesn't make me feel bad when I'm having a flare up. He doesn't, you know, say, oh, you can do it. Just get up and go take care of it. Quit whining. Quit worrying.
Right. After my first surgery, I was told that I was milking my recovery because I was taking too long to recover. And I'm sorry, what rule is written down where that says this injury has this exact recuperation time and no longer? No shorter, no longer, you should take 3 days or a week or 2 weeks or whatever. I don't understand that. Every person is different. Every body is different. So if you feel like you're taking longer than you should to heal, don't worry about it.
It's just, you know, the human body is definitely not perfect. It has its flaws. And one thing that definitely helps is having someone in your corner who understands that there are going to be those moments where you can't do something. You want to get it done and you just can't do it. And I've been very fortunate to find somebody who gets it and says, don't worry, if there's something that you need, I'm here and I will help you through it.
Yeah, I had, when she told me all these things, I had no idea what I was getting into. And honestly, I don't think I gave it a second thought because I knew I wanted to be here. I knew that I wanted a life with her. I didn't know what that would look like. I still don't know what that would look like. Because who knows what's going to happen in a year or 6 years or even a few weeks. You know, things change. Things happen all the time. McCoy found the bottle that she wanted. Thank you. Thank you for the sound effects, McCoy. We appreciate that. But this is what I signed up for. You know, warts and all. Not that she has warts, but yeah.
Thank you for pointing that out.
I do what I can.
I know you do. So, sorry, I'm checking this coffee cup here.
Getting there.
It's getting there.
I think to sum up, if you're in a relationship with somebody, then, you know, the whole, whether you're married or not, the whole for better or worse thing. Because it's not always going to be better. It's not always going to be puppies and kittens and rainbows and whatever, and glitter bombs. It's going to be ugly.
Glitter bombs.
I don't know. It's popped in my head. You know, but there are things that are going to pop up that are ugly and unpleasant. And you just deal with them as a team. And you take care of it. And you power through together. Honestly, that's all you can do. Pray a lot. I do that too. I'm constantly praying over her. So, if you're the praying type, then absolutely do it. If you're not, check it out. It may work for you.
And, well, you started to say it, you know, like the traditional wedding vows go, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health. And he's definitely been in there through me when I'm doing well health-wise. And he's been there for me countless times when I'm not doing so great health-wise. And you know what? I absolutely appreciate it. I think my doctors noticed that it definitely is helping me having.
Well, absolutely. I think they were like, oh, you have something now. That's great. Unfortunately, my coffee cup has hit about the bottom limit. So we appreciate each one of you being here and listening to us. We thank you for coming back week after week because we see you and we see the numbers. So thank you for coming back. As always, this is our 2 cents worth. Your mileage may vary. Happy Easter, happy weekend, and we'll see you again hopefully next Friday.
Till next time. Bye.
Bye.